Okay, welcome. This is the Tuesday evening Gemara Shiur. Welcome. It seems we have quite a few new people who are not usually part of the Shiur. Thanks for joining in. We must tell you, this is a Shiur that usually takes place at the Beit Knesset Mishkan Sipora that you see here on the screen in Efrat. And during Corona, we've been meeting online and also offering it over Web Yeshiva so that others can benefit as well. I'm not sure how much longer we're going to continue to offer it online. At a certain point, we will move back to shul, to the live format, and everyone will be welcome to come to visit us in Efrat. Here we are on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. It also happens that we're very nearing the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. We have another daf and a half. Okay, Ben, I just muted you for the noise you're making. But we're talking about the Tkiyat Shofar. Different dinim of Tkiyat Shofar. So at the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, 33b, the Gemara says, here, Shi'ur Trua Kishalosh Yevavot. That was from the Mishnah. Remember, there are different notes that we sound as part of the Tkiyat Shofar. The center note is surrounded always by a trua, the long straight note. I said the wrong thing. I said trua, I meant tkia. The center note is always surrounded on either side by a tkia, the long straight note. Tkia. And then we blow what the Torah calls a trua, but which, as we'll see momentarily in the Gemara, is not clearly identified. The middle note is either what we call a shvarim, which is the kind of plaintive bah, 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 or a second. Or it's the staccato trua, what we call the trua. Or it's a combination of the two, what we call shvarim trua. If I was more talented, I would have actually blown the shofar here, but I think you get the idea. And then on either side, we always have the long note, the long tkia. In the language of halacha, these three notes are abbreviated as tashat, which is Rashi Tevot for Tkia, Shvarim Tkia. Tarat, Tkia, Tirua Tkia, because both Tkia and Trua begin with the letter Taf, we have to use the letter Resh to symbolize Tirua. Or Tashrat, Tkia, Shvarim Trua Tkia. In the Torah, when the Torah says Yom Teruah Yelachem, it's talking about these middle notes. Right? But since we're not sure exactly what they are, we've given the actual permutations different names. So the Gemara says, here we go. Shiur Trua Kegimel Yevavot. The amount of the middle note is equivalent to three Yevavot, three whimpers, said the Mishnah. Vahatanya Shiur Trua Kishlosha Shvarim. But there's a braita that says that the middle note is the length of three Shvarim. Shverim meaning broken notes. So apparently, these two different types of notes, either yevavot, whimpers, or shivarim, are not exactly the same. So since we need to know the length of each of those middle notes, we need to determine what these things are. The Gemara says, Baha, Omar Abaye, Baha vadai plige. So in this case, Abaye says, in this case, there's certainly a machloket tnaim. There's a machloket between these different Mishnaic rabbis as to what do we put into the sandwich. On either side you have a tkia, the long straight note, but there's a machloket what goes in the middle. Dichtiv yom trua yelachem umitargaminan yom yivava yehelachon. The Torah says, Yom Truah Yelecha. You should have a day of Truah. So what is Truah? How do we define Truah? The Targum, the Aramaic translation of that verse says, Yom Yivava Yehelechun. That you should have a day of whimpering. What's whimpering? V'chtiv be'ema de Sisra. In the book of Judges, concerning the mother of the wicked general Sisra, who goes off to battle, and she remains behind. Ba'ad hachalon nishkafa. She's sitting by the window, looking out to see if and when her son will return victorious from the battle. Vatyabev em Sisra. And the mother of Sisra, Rabbi Riskin here in Efrat, always says, it's like learning a halacha from the mother of Arafat. Right, but nevertheless, you can still learn something from a disconsolate mother. She's sitting there crying, whimpering, waiting anxiously for her son to return. Marsavasa, but what is that yivava? What does that sound like when she cried? Marsavar ginuche gonach umarsavar. Yelule Yolil. It's a machloket. There are two different opinions in the Gemara says that the two Tanaim had different opinions. One said it's ginuche gonach. It's a kind of a moan, a groan. Right? Oh, it's an oive. Right? Mar Savar that Aim Sisra was Ashkenazia. She's waiting for her son, and she's saying, Oi, oi, oi. Umar Savar Yelule Yalal. It's the staccato, like the Sephardic women. La 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 la. Right? It's a sharp. Right? In other words, what is the nature of the crying? Right? We know that there's two different types of crying. Right? There's the kind of sharp, piercing cry, and then there's the more broken, devastated, whimpering cry. So the question is, the truah in the middle of the tutkiot, is it meant to be like this, or is it meant to be like that? As you know, our practice is, we do both this and that, and both of them together, which is, at least on the surface, a rather curious position. We're aware in halacha that there's machloket, right? Do you tie the tefillin this way, or do you tie the tefillin that way? Well, at the end of the day, you have to either do it this way or that way. Are the tefillin like the opinion of Rashi, or like the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam? So the halacha has to decide that tefillin is one thing, and halacha decided that we wear the tefillin of Rashi, right? Tefillin that where the parashiot are ordered according to the opinion of Rashi. It's true that in more recent generations there are some punctilious people that want to be yotzei kol hadeot. They want to try to fulfill all the opinions, and they'll have a separate pair of tefillin, but that and they'll put that pair of tefillin on after they've worn the regular tefillin. But that doesn't change the fact that the normative halacha is that tefillin follows the opinion of Rashi, right? In very rare cases, do we try to combine everything together? There's a machloket how to hang the mezuzah. Should the mezuzah hang vertically or horizontally? So there's a very widespread opinion that the mezuzah hangs at a diagonal, right? More or less, not a 45 degree angle, but more or less vertical, but slightly tilted in towards the entrance to the house. And that is a combination opinion which tries to accommodate both opinions. But it's quite rare, it's quite unusual that the halakha does that. As a matter of fact, many people, particularly here in Eretz Yisrael, follow the opinion of the Vilna Gaon that this is incorrect, and that the mezuzah should hang perfectly vertically and not at the angle. But a typical mezuzah, if you think of a typical mezuzah in your head, it's one that's hanging at that angle. And in shofar as well is an unusual case. Not only do we blow the shofar according to both opinion A and opinion B, but we also blow it AB. Right? We create one tkia, which is both of them together. And this is quite odd. I'll come back to that momentarily. Let's just learn a little bit more Gemara before we try to answer that question. Minayin sheba shofar. How do you know that the truah has to be blown on a shofar? Nowhere does the Torah explicitly say you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It says Yom Truah Yelochem. In theory, you could blow that note on a trumpet, on a kazoo, on a clarinet, on any type of instrument, in theory. How do you know that it's a shofar? Talmud lomar v'havarta shofar truah. Well, there's a pasuk that says you should blow. We just actually read this 2 weeks ago, that you should spread around the news. You should make a declaration with the blowing with the blasting of a shofar. So, okay, doesn't that sound like the answer is shofar? Except what's the problem? What's the context of that pasuk? Vavarta shofar trua. No? What do we talk about at the end of Sefer Vayikra? This is in Vayikra Perek Kaf Hey.
Yom Kippur.
Va'avarta.
Shofar Trua. So
that, what's that talking about? It's not even really specifically. It's not even talking specifically about Yom Kippur. It's talking about
Yovel.
Right? At the end of the 50-year period of Yovel, after seven rounds of Shemitah, you have Yovel. At the end of Yovel, on Yom Kippur, following Yovel, you blow the shofar and Shechur Avadim. All of the slaves go free. All of the property reverts back to its original owners. And that's done through the sounding of a shofar on Yovel once every 50 years. So minayin sheba shofar Talmud lomar v'avarta shofar trua, ein li ela biyovel. So okay, that's no proof for Rosh Hashanah. That's a proof that the blowing that takes place on Yovel has to be with a shofar, right? B'Rosh Hashanah minayin. What's the source? How do we learn out that the blowing that's done on Rosh Hashanah has to be with a shofar? Talmud lomar b'chodesh hashvi'i. since the pasuk about Yovel specifies b'chodesh hashvi'i, the seventh month, which is, of course, Tishrei, she'ein Talmud lomar b'chodesh hashvi'i, uma Talmud lomar b'chodesh hashvi'i, she'yu kol tru'ot shel chodesh shvi'i ze kaze. The Torah didn't have to tell you that Rosh Hashanah, that Yom Kippur is in the seventh month. We know when Yom Kippur is. But since the Torah specified Yom Kippur, which is in the seventh month, when you blow with a shofar, we learn from the redundancy of specifying the seventh month that all of the mitzvah blowing in the seventh month is done with a shofar. What other mitzvah blowing is there in the seventh month? Rosh Hashanah. So that's how the Gemara learns out that Dafka, the blowing for Rosh Hashanah, has to be with a shofar. I mean, of course, there was this uninterrupted interpretive tradition that it was a shofar. I mean, there was never a machloket. No one ever said, oh, I can blow with a kazoo. But the Gemara here provides the limud behind the halacha in order to explain how it's derived, because curiously, the Torah never says, on Rosh Hashanah, blow a shofar. The Torah says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, which is Rosh Hashanah, of course, you should have a day of blowing. Doesn't say what you should blow. So what do? Let's look to see what other blowings there are in the Torah. Well, it happens right here. Right here there's a blowing of Yovel on Yom Kippur, which is also in the seventh month. What do you need to tell me it's in the seventh month? I know it's in the seventh month, right? If I tell you we're going to have a barbecue on the 4th of July, which is in the seventh month of the Gregorian calendar, what's the first question you should ask?
Why are you saying that?
Yeah, I know it's the seventh month. July is the seventh month. Right? It's unnecessary. So it must be coming to teach you, and that's the case here. Right? That's how we know that the shofar is, the Rosh Hashanah is also with the shofar. Uminayin shepshuta lefaneha. And where do we derive the law? Where do we derive the law that you need to have what we call a tkia, a flat straight note before the Tru'ah in the middle? Because the Torah says, Yom Tru'ah Yelechem. So what do you need all these tekiot for? If the halacha for Rosh Hashanah is you should have Tru'ah, so why don't we just get up and go, or, what do you need the long, flat, straight notes that precede and follow each of the things in the middle? So how do you know that you have a pshuta, a straight note before, in Talmud Lomar, v'avarta shofar tru'ah. V'avarta shofar tru'ah, the same pasuk, that you should make the declaration at the end of Yovel by sounding a shofar. Uminayin shepshuta lachareha. So what is that? What does that come to teach you? Talmud Lomar Vada Minayin Shepshuta Lachareh, Talmud Lomar Ta'aviru Shofar. Right? And so how do you know that you need a tkia following the Tru'ah? So there's the same verse, there's the same pasuk, right? You have to make this declaration with the Shofar. Ve'ein li ela b'yovel. So the same questions, the same construct. That halacha is about Yovel. So how do you know Rosh Hashanah Minayin? How do you know that it also applies to Rosh Hashanah? Talmud Lomar, Bechodesh HaShvi'i. Now at the top of Lamed Dalet Omer Aleph, She'ein Talmud Lomar Bechodesh HaShvi'i. Uma Talmud Lomar Bechodesh HaShvi'i, She'yu Kol Tru'ot HaChodesh HaShvi'i Zekaze. Right? All of the tkiot, all of the blowing of the seventh month for Yovel and for Rosh Hashanah have to have this Vavarta Shofar Tru'ah, that the Tru'ah has to have this flat sound beforehand. So this question, the question that we encountered earlier about, first of all, what are all these notes? The Torah says have a trua. And the Gemara says we don't know what trua is. Is trua what we call trua, the sharp staccato notes? Or is it the wailing notes? And what is the relationship between all of these different things? So the Ramban says that the shvarim have to be distinct wails, right? In other words, the way I drew it here with a break in between. Hold on, let me clear this off. Just erasing the blackboard like we used to in the old days. Let me see, where's the pencil? Here. So the Ramban says that each note has a little break in between. Break. Break. But the tkia has no break. The tkia is just one long flat note. Ideally, the tkia shouldn't even vary in tone. That's not always possible. Sometimes the Baal Tokeah can't control the note exactly, and the note will waver. It'll go b'diavad, it's not ideal. B'diavad, it counts, your yotze. But ideally, the note should be completely flat and all the same tone throughout. So the Ramban says that it doesn't mean you have to pause in the middle of every shever, right? But why is this note called a shever shvarim? Because it's broken, right? The change, the tone goes up and down, right? So it can sound, instead of like bah, 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 it can sound like bah, you know, kind of like a European ambulance driver. But the Ritva, however, had a different way to make the shvarim. The tkia was one long note. And it would have gone like this. But the Ritva says the Shvarim is like this. Flat notes, but just with these breaks in them. The Ramban thought it could sound like this. Now, the ma'aseh, most ballet tekiya do both. They try to accommodate different opinions. And in the tekiyot that you blow before the shofar, many ballet tekiya will do the kind of classical shvarim. And in the tekiyot that you blow, the shvarim that you blow during the repetition of the Amida, this is the way our Baal Tokeah does it in our shul. He'll do broken flat notes without varying tones in the middle. But this whole idea of combining the different notes into the Tashrat, Tkia, Shvarim, Trua, Tkia, is addressed by Rav Kook. Rav Kook, in his Siddur commentary, Rav Kook has a sidur called the Olat Re'aya. It was translated in an adaption not long ago from Koren. The Koren sidur publishers put out an English edition of it, but it's not an exact translation. It's an adaptation of what Rav Kook did. But there are two volumes in the Hebrew edition, and the second volume has a lot of material about the Jewish holidays, of course. So it happens that there's a lot of material there related to the shofar. So Rav Kook says, Hasafek im ginuche ganach o yilule yolil. That's our Gemara. He quotes our Gemara. Yesh lomar sheyesh safek biyisod hatshuva. The machloket, whether or not the shvarim, whether or not the trua is, or whether it's, is a machloket about what the essence of repentance is. Uvechlal yisod hatzlacha ha'enoshit b'yirat Hashem ve'yashrut hadrachim. And it also represents a machloket between the foundations of human success in achieving awe of God and achieving the straight path. Im ha'ikar hu ha'haskala v'hadat Ha'emet, o ha'ikar hu ha'regesh ha'yashar. It's the old intellect versus emotion debate, right? Which goes back to antiquity. You know, Aristotle has the metaphor of the chariot, that the human soul is like a chariot that's being pulled by a team of horses. By two horses galloping ahead. One horse represents the intellect, and one horse represents the emotion. Very often these two forces are pulling at each other. They're driving in different directions. And when that happens, the carriage overturns. A healthy person, a successful voyage in the chariot of life requires the intellect and the emotion to be galloping ahead at the in tandem, in harmony. So Rav Kook says that this is related to the question of what kind of sound do we want in the shofar. Ukemosh yesh chiluk bahatchalat haderech. Ki im haregesh hatov hu yisod hatzlacha, im kein yisod hatshuva hu tigboret shel rigshot halev. If the path towards repentance has to do with getting your emotional state right, so then tshuva has to come about through the emotion. V'im yisod hatzlacha hu ha'hakara v'hadat. But if success comes about through a more rational approach, after all, tshuva is a lot about self-assessment and self-knowledge and self-awareness and doing that kind of evaluative work, which doesn't necessarily have to come about sitting on someone's couch. Im kein yisod ha'tshuva yeh gam kein haskama haba mitzad hadat. And therefore, repentance will come about through a kind of mental or intellectual realization. V'haregesh tafel elav. And the emotion would be subsidiary. V'hinei. Ginuche gonach bo al yedei cheshbon. The two different types of tears. Oi, oi, oi. That's a reflection of mental anguish. That's a reflection of really sitting and mulling over, stewing it over. V'haregesh tafel. V'hine gnucha yine ba'alich adei cheshbon. Sh'natsev lo eze davar. Something's causing a person to be sad, depressed. Afal pi she'ein ha'kev dochako kol kach. It's not a sharp pain. Right? It's the pain that comes about from sitting there, from worry. V'zeu l'umat tshuva shemitzad hadat. Amnam keshakev dochek ba'ofen ayom v'nora. But when the pain is bearing down on you, is piercing you, az tsoek mikev halev b'yilulei yolid. That's what you hear at the moment that that your loved one passes away. That's what you hear when the bowling ball falls on your shoe, right? That's the piercing pain of immediate emotional response. It's not reasoned. It's not seasoned. It's not after reflection. It's just the spontaneous burst of anguish. Vahu neged haregesh. And that is a reflection of the emotion. So Rav Kook says, there are two paths to tshuva, to repentance. One is through the intellect. One is through the rational consideration of reality. And the other is just the pain, the sharp crying out, that knowledge, that coming, like the bowling ball falling on your foot, that realization that I'm distanced from God, I have sinned. And that's the emotional response. V'hamala hayoter shlema hi shetavo hatshuva mibet ha'inyanim. And you know what the best kind of tshuva is? It's neither this nor that. But when you can synthesize the two, when you can have both, when the horses are working in tandem, moving ahead, carrying the carriage forward, and you have an intellectual response, and you have an emotional response. Midaat, from the mind, from the intellect. V'titkaber kol kach ad ha'hergesh. V'hine yesh yitaron lahargish shemipnei shehu mirusham b'roshem chazak hu mitkayem. Right? On one hand, we think that the emotional response, the sharp, quick, wail, that's going to have a bigger impact. It makes a louder noise, right? It'll last, it'll have a longer standing. Aval koach hadat, kishelo nikba kol kach, eino batuach shiitkayem. But, you know, just kind of thinking something through doesn't always have the long-lasting impact. I mean, think about all pain, all sharp pain. Right, you're a little kid and you touch the hot stove, right? That is a very sharp pain. You scream out like the yululayolo, like the trua, and you quickly learn. It has a long lasting impact. If you're much 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 older, many years have passed. That's usually a lesson you only need to learn once, not to touch the hot stove. Right? It's a lesson that stays with you. It has a long-lasting impact. V'zehu ashrei ha'am yodea trua. And this is the meaning of the verse that we recite on Rosh Hashanah before the Tkiat Shofar. Ashrei ha'am yodea trua. Fortunate is the nation who knows what the trua is. Who knows, if I can speak mystically, who knows what the secret of the trua is? Trua shebetorah hi gam kein shvarim. V'truat ha-shvarim hi aruka mitzad ginuch eganach b'tshuvat haskel. It's also what we call shvarim. It's also what we call shvarim, which is the intellect. The plaintive, oi, 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 vei. K'shelo nikba kol kach eino batuach shiitkayem. V'zehu ashrei am yodea tshua, tshua shebetorah hi gam kein shvarim. V'ashvarim hi aruka mitzad ginuch eganach b'tshuvat haskel, haseichel. that it can't all just be emotion. It has to be tempered by the rational side. It has to be tempered by the emotional side. Hashrei ha'am shemishabrim et ha'tshua leginuchot k'tzarot shel yulu le'yolol. And fortunate is the nation that knows that when we have to break up the shvarim, we break it up to the soft and the sharp, the intellectual and the emotional. Shehi mora al haregesh, right? Because the sharp crying out is connected to the emotion. Shehi davar tov mipnei shebeor panecha yahalechun. The rest of the verse, right? That we shall walk in the light of God's countenance. Umidarish name misefa lareisha shebeor panecha yahalechun sheish lahem dat v'hakara shlema. Sheor pnei Hashem hu hakara v'adat. Gibor panecha natat lanu Hashem elokeinu torat chayim al kein beor panecha yahalechun al yedei hadat. Ve'im zehem yodei ha'tshua v'shovrei ha'tshua v'chozek ha'regesh. Zohi tshuva shlema mikol tzadim she'titkayem bevadai. Long-lasting tshuva, long-lasting repentance comes about through the combination of the two. There's another way to understand the idea the idea that in this particular halakha, instead of choosing one normative practice which becomes the law, so some want to suggest that there were different minhagim, there were different customs, that in some communities everybody knew that the trua in the middle sounds like crying. But like the Gemara already said, what does crying sound like? Some people cry like this, and some people cry like that. Some people shout out, you know, sharply, and other people sit and go, oy vey. So in certain communities, they blew the shofar to sound like what they thought a typical cry sounded like. And in other places, they blew the shofar to sound like the way that they sound like. And the Jewish world couldn't countenance the idea that tkiat shofar wasn't the same everywhere for everyone. So they said, we'll take a cry like this and a cry like that, we'll put it together, we'll make a chulent of tkiat shofar, and we'll blow like everybody. So that wherever you go in the world, you can hear your own tkiat shofar. But that would be very strange. We don't generally do that, right? Adarabba. On the contrary, Jewish practice is very comfortable with the idea that not everything is cookie cutter. That in a Sephardic shul they daven in a certain way, in an Ashkenazic shul they daven in a different way, in a Yemenite shul it's something else. The Italians had their own customs, and even though a Jew can go into any shul in the world, a Jew can sit at the Seder table anywhere in the world and still recognize it as a Seder, Pesach, even though every family and every community has its own custom and does things a little bit differently. Some people use lettuce for Moror, and some people use horseradish for Moror, and some people use some other kind of sharp-tasting plant for Moror, but we all have Moror. Some people eat square matzahs, and some people eat round matzahs, and some people eat hard matzahs, and some people eat soft matzahs, but we all eat matzah. And it's okay that we have different customs. So why would it be for Tekiat Shofar we felt this imperative to mash it all together and do everything together? So it's possible that the meaning is, and this is like a drasha, but it's a nice drasha. It's possible that the meaning is that, what's shofar? Shofar is crying. Shofar is about crying. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you know, there's a tefillah that we say on Erev Yom Kippur called Tefillah Zaka. It means the prayer, well, whatever it means. It might mean like the pure prayer or a prayer for zechut. But it's a prayer that's often said on Yom Kippur. You get to shul a few minutes early before Kol Nidre and you say Tefillah Zakah. Rabbi Soloveitchik, in a play on words, referred to shofar as Tefillah Za'aka, the screaming prayer, the crying prayer. That shofar is also a form of tefillah, is also a form of prayer. But unlike every other prayer of the Jewish liturgy, which involves the recitation of a set text, the recitation of words, shofar is a tefillah that we pray through sounding the shofar in a cry, in a wail, in a moan. So it can't be that I will pray the prayer of the shofar through the blowing of the shofar, and I'll cry with my tears, and somewhere else, someone else will cry with a different kind of tear. For Rosh Hashanah, for tshuva, for me or for my community to succeed at tshuva, we also have to know how to cry the tears of every other Jew. And that's why the custom developed that we have a sandwich. Because, you know, Jews like to eat. You have a tkia on either side. That's the long, straight, flat note. That might be the coronation note. You know, on one hand, the shofar is royal, it's regal, it's noble, it's majestic. Right? It's about crowning God as king on the Yom HaDin. That's, you don't, if you go to Google, you can find like the, or if you watch that TV series, The Crown, you can see a reenactment of it, the coronation of Elizabeth II, Her Royal Majesty. It's been a long time since England has had a coronation, so the videos are rather old. But you could see you could see what majesty is, and you could hear the trumpets, the chatzotzrot, those long trumpets when she comes in, and you know, God save the queen. It doesn't sound like people saying oy vey. Quite the contrary, it's romamut, it's uplifting, it's straight, strong notes. What? So we have that. That's the bread in the sandwich. But in the middle, the meat on Rosh Hashanah is crying. But it has to be like a triple-decker sandwich. You know, like again, Jews are good at these kinds of things. I'll cry my tears, I'll cry your tears, and I'll put them both together and create a new kind of tear that contains the tears of all the Jewish people together, baked together, because until I can do that, then my prayer is lacking. Because in Rosh Hashanah, God can't become the king just for me or just for my community. He has to be the king for everybody. So we will daven the tears of everyone. The Yilul HaYalal, the Ginuch HaGonach, we put it all together. And that's what Tkiat Shofar is on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we'll continue next week. Those of us, again, welcome to all the new people that joined us. But we will discuss during the week whether we will continue on online or we will move back to the shul next week after Shavuot. Or if not, then maybe the week after that. But we will keep you all posted. In the meantime, Chag Matan Toratenu is coming. So good Yom Tov to everyone. Have a good Shavuos. Don't forget, even during Corona, you can have cheesecake and have a good Yom Tov.
Excellent. Thanks so much.